As we celebrate the baptism of our Lord today, we can recognize that there is a theology of water that encompasses the entire Bible. Water in baptism ultimately becomes, for us Christians, pure gift. In the Old Testament, water was many times dangerous. In the beginning, water is an essential part of God's creation. We read that the Spirit of God moved over the waters, Genesis 1:2. The creation of the world thus begins upon water. Yet in the beginning, the water was accompanied by a void and emptiness, Genesis 1:2 again. In the time of Noah, a flood of water is unleashed upon the earth. Here the water has the positive effect of purifying and cleansing the earth of its wickedness. Yet again, the water has a negative aspect in that it causes death and destruction. In the crossing of the Red Sea, we see how the water creates a blessed passageway, positive, for the Israelites to cross over into the Promised Land in Exodus 14. Simultaneously, the water destroys, negative, the Egyptian army. In the Gospels, Jesus works miracles upon water. Jesus changes water into wine in John chapter 2 at Cana in Galilee. Jesus walks upon the waters and he calms them. On the cross, blood and water flow from his side, John chapter 19. At the end of his life, as he dies on the cross, the water is both a negative sign of the death of Christ and also a positive sign of the victory wrought by Christ over death itself. Today, Jesus sanctifies the waters at the River Jordan. On receiving his baptisms, the heavens are opened so that we might hear the voice of the Father say these beautiful words to his Son, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." In the last book of the Bible, water again takes on a deep meaning. Up to now, water has had a destructive aspect as well as a positive one. This shifts in the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 21. We read, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Here, at the end of time, the destructive nature of water was no more. At the end of time, all things will be transformed by God. Water becomes a pure blessing. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of water of life," Revelation 21, verse 6. The last chapter of Revelation tells us of a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. This river brings life, healing, and restoration to all the redeemed of God. These will be the children of God. Those in heaven are those who have been covered by the waters of baptism. In heaven, we will enter into God's glory, which is the grace of God consummated within us. This new cleansing will be the moment our bodies become glorified bodies, bathed in God's grace. At the end of time, if we remain faithful, we will hear the Father's words from the gospel today. This time, they are not addressed to Jesus alone. These words will be spoken to the mystical body of Christ, of which we are now a part. "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." We began this liturgical year by reading from the Gospel of St. Luke. In this gospel, there are several connections between Jesus' baptism in the Jordan and Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain. These two events mutually illuminate and enrich one another, especially as regards the new exodus that Jesus leads. In both events, Jesus prays, and there is a revelation of the Trinity. At the baptism, the Spirit descends in bodily form like a dove, and we hear the voice of the Father, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." At the transfiguration, the cloud of Spirit descends, and we hear the voice of the Father again, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." Both have a theme of a new exodus. At the Transfiguration, Jesus speaks to Elijah and Moses about his exodus that he will accomplish in Jerusalem. The baptism happens in the Jordan, where after the exodus, Israel had entered the Promised Land. John the Baptist is interpreting the events of Israel's history as part of a divine plan in which earlier events foreshadow and prepare for God's greater future purposes. John's baptism was a call for the Jews to reaffirm their identity as God's people, to come into the desert with God once more, and symbolically re-enter the Promised Land through water. A new exodus was beginning, not from captivity to Pharaoh, but from captivity to sin. The way we talk about baptism and the way we think about baptism is often sadly incomplete. Baptism has many layers of meaning and produces multiple realities in our lives. Care must be taken to not reduce baptism to something very much less than what it is. Perhaps there are two common ways that baptism gets reduced. Some think of baptism as merely a deliverance from sin. In this view, we baptize a child so that they don't go to hell. Some think of baptism as merely a naming ceremony to celebrate publicly the birth of one's child. In this view, we baptize a child because it creates a nice moment for a family gathering. The truth of baptism is so much deeper. In a postmodern world, our secular society, that has lost its roots and lost its story, baptism is in even greater need. The truth of my personal baptism and your personal baptism is that I now have a loving Father. My deepest identity is that of being a child of God. I become a member of the church, my new spiritual family. I now have an eternal purpose for my life. I have an eternal home awaiting for me at the end of my life. My life of grace on this earth has begun. These truths and many others can erase the damage done by what today's secular world is lacking: meaning, purpose, fatherhood, and identity. May we recall that Jesus has personally asked us to baptize the whole world, to witness to the world the great gift and the grace of our own baptism. This week, a takeaway from this Mass is to pick up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can find it online for free. Pick it up and read the section on baptism. It's not that long. It will be a beautiful reminder of your Christian dignity in Christ.